If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And we'll also be going to 2 Samuel chapter 17. We're continuing in our series called Victorious, Winning the Spiritual Battle Over Your Life. And I'm encouraging you as the people of God that God created you to live in victory. God created you to live in victory. And we're getting into how to walk this out, how to live this way. In Matthew chapter 16, just let me catch you up to speed or recap some of the scriptures that we've been looking at. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is speaking about the church he's come to die and rise again to establish. And right from the start, he says, on this rock, he's talking to Peter, and the rock is the revelation of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, on this rock, on this revelation, I'm going to build my church. And right from the start, he gives us a hint. He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Against what?
It's not a trick question.
The church. The church. How many know that the church is you and me? The church is you and me. How many know it's not a building? It's not a building. It's not a time on Sundays and Wednesdays. The church is you and me. The Bible says that the church is made of living stones. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, it's you. It's me. We are the church. And we're established to live in victory. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Come on. Someone ought to feel good about that. And gates, I've never seen gates chasing someone down. Gates are intended to keep things, keep people captured or to keep people from getting in. Gates never chase someone down. We're intended to be an active force of restoration and salvation. Amen? So we're called to live in victory. And 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have victory, but there's a battle. And this is what we're talking about, how to win this battle. And in every battle, there's an adversary, there's an opponent. We have an enemy who is trying to keep you from experiencing, enjoying, and enforcing the victory of Jesus Christ. And this battle is a spiritual battle. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18 says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, his mighty power. His mighty power. He's speaking to believers, and he says, you be strong in him. And he says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. He says, our struggle's not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's not against your spouse. It's not against your boss. It's not against your coworker. He says, it's against authorities, rulers, powers in the dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. There's a spiritual battle. And so in these first few weeks of the messages of Victorious, we've been talking about our enemy. Know your enemy. Know your enemy. Come on, good sports teams scout their opponent. Good sports teams work on their own skills, and they watch film of the opponent that they're about to face. Why? So that they can be one step ahead, so that in the moment, in the battle, in the skirmish, yes, I just said skirmish, in the game, they'll know, they'll look and they'll see, listen, we watch this. We watch that tape, and we know in this moment this is what they have a tendency to do. And God exposes this. Again, this is not a devil glorifying message. This is a devil exposing series of messages. That we would begin to see some of the things that previously tripped us up, some of the things that previously caused us to stumble, some of the things that previously put us in depression, some of the things that previously put us in bondage, and we begin to say, not today, devil. I've learned, I see your ways, I'm recognizing you, I'm calling you out, I'm exposing you, and I'm coming against you with the weapons of warfare that the Bible talks about that aren't carnal, they're not of this world, they're spiritual, but they're mighty for the pulling down of Satan's strongholds. So we've been looking at some of these names that God gives our enemy. And just as Christ is not Jesus' last name, it's his title. He's the anointed one is what that word means. We can look at some of these names that God gave to our enemy. We can see some of his schemes and his devices. In Revelation 12, verse 9 through 11, we visited it every week, and it says, the great dragon was hurled down. That's talking about Satan. It goes on, it says, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan who leads the whole world astray. And we looked at those words, devil and Satan. And devil is the word, the Greek word, diablos, and it means accuser or slanderer. And one of the primary ways that the enemy works against us is he accuses us, he slanders us against ourselves with guilt, shame, condemnation. He beats you up with your past. He beats you up with your sin. He beats you up with guilt and shame to try to keep you from moving forward into the purpose that God created you for. He accuses us one to another. He works through gossip and slander, and he accuses us to God. It says he day and night accuses us to God. But we went to Romans 8, and we found the good news, and it says, who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, and it says, but more than that, he rose again. He's seated at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for you. So Satan is accusing, but Jesus is interceding, and we see in Revelation 12 who wins the argument. And it says that Satan is cast down. He's cast down. Jesus wins the argument. Come on, Jesus wins the argument. He's interceding for you. And then last week we talked about, or the last two Sundays actually, we've talked about a third named Lucifer. And Lucifer in Isaiah 14, it says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. And we begin to see why. We begin to see why. And it says, for you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. And on the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And if the calling card of Diablos is gossip, the calling card of Lucifer is pride and spiritual pride. Pride and spiritual pride. Do you see how he started to work? He said, I'll exalt myself. I'll be like God. I'll also be like God. And so it's the reason that God opposes pride but gives grace to the humble. Pride is more than just bad behavior. When we're operating in pride, we're operating in the spirit of Lucifer. But here's the good news. We can win these battles. We can win these battles. We can stop gossip, and we can extend grace, and we can begin to speak life. We can win the battle over spiritual pride. We can humble ourselves. It's what we've talked about. If you've missed some of these messages, go back and watch them or listen to them. We can begin to win the battle over spiritual pride. And how do we win it? By being a worshiper of the Most High God. By being a worshiper. The worship was at the center of the fall of Lucifer, and it's the way that we position ourselves and humble ourselves before the hand of God. We worship God, and as we worship him, we're reminding ourselves, you're God, I'm not. And it humbles us, and it reminds us of who we are in him. We can win these battles. But listen, you got to choose every day. You got to choose every day who you're going to live for and who or what you're going to worship. We got to put it on. Isaiah 61 says, put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. We got to put it on. We got a choice every day. Who are we going to live for? What are we going to live for? Who are we going to worship? We can win the battle. We can win these battles. The third name that I want to dig into a little bit today is the word Satan there. It says Satan or the devil, and Satan is the Greek word Satanas, and it means opponent or adversary. And there's someone who's resisting the will of God. He's been cast down. His pride exalted himself, and he was cast down and judged, he and a third of the angels. And now he's, as we've been created to fill his position as worshipers of God, now he's interfering in our lives. He's resisting. He's opposing. And when you got saved is the moment he began resisting and opposing. Before you got saved, he was your master. And now you're saved, and he's your adversary. He's your opponent. He's pushing back. But I'm telling you this morning, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. And there's a pathway to win this battle against an opponent and an adversary. And listen, there's another thing you need to be encouraged about. That the greatest conflicts, the greatest battles occur in the most strategic places. Listen, no one's warring over nations that have no resources. If there's a battle in your life, you need to be encouraged. The enemy comes, your opponent, your adversary, he comes to resist things that have great promise, potential, or power. And so if there's a battle in your life, you need to be encouraged this morning. You've got his attention. There's something in you that he's resisting. There's something in you that he's opposing. And Matthew 11:12 says this, that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. The kingdom of heaven is under attack. The kingdom of heaven is being resisted. The kingdom of heaven is being opposed. And now look in Luke 17:21. It says this. They're expecting Jesus to establish a kingdom one way, and he's come to do it his own way. And they said, the Pharisees said, when will the kingdom of God come? And Jesus answered them, and he said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. And nor can you say, see here or see there. Look, it's happened. It said, for indeed, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. The message of the gospel has been entrusted to you. Listen, if you're under attack, if there's resistance in your life, if there's opposition in your life, you need to be encouraged just because you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God, and there's the fullness of the measure of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, and you're the hope of the world, and you're a dangerous person to the enemy. And he's resisting you, and he's opposing you. It's in you. It's in you. So listen, if you're up against something, if there's a battle in your life, if there's opposition, it's because you're important. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you must be important. You must be important. There's a battle in your life. Listen, you are important. You're unique. You're special. There's no one like you, and only you can fulfill and accomplish the purpose of God for your life. Only you. The Bible says that you're God's masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's handiwork. Another translation says, you're God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You were created for a purpose. On purpose and for a purpose. Come on, God doesn't make mistakes. And you were no accident. I don't care what your parents said. And listen, I got to be careful digging into this. Your mom and your dad were involved, but you were created by God. Your mom and your dad ministered to one another. Laid hands on one another. Express love to one another, and they were involved, but God created you. I got to be careful. Come on, say, be careful, Pastor T. I did a little research about this online. Come on, you got to be careful with these Google searches. But here's what I wanted to find out. I started just thinking about this because I started realizing something, and I started thinking about the science of it and the biology of it that God created. We just studied. God created it. And while there's one egg, on average, there are 250 million cells that the father shares with your mom. Come on, I'm treading real lightly right here. But did you catch that? On average, 250 million cells that your dad created, submitted to the process. 200, you're not just one in a million, you're one in 250 million, and sometimes up to 1 billion. You're pretty unique. You're pretty special. You're God's masterpiece. Come on, you say you're one in a million, it's more than that. You're one in 250 million. And there was a battle, and one of them made it there, and that's why you look the way you look, that's the reason you sound the way you sound. That's the reason you have the personality that you have. That's the reason you have some of the passions that you have. You are God's masterpiece. You're really important, and you're really special. Jeremiah 1:5 said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. He knew you. Before he even formed you, he knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you. Say appointed. Remember that word. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Listen, when you begin to discover this, when you begin to get this, when you begin to walk this out, when you begin to realize, when you get a revelation, when you understand that you weren't some cosmic accident, when you begin to understand that you were created on purpose, for a purpose, by a God who loves you and knew you before he created you, when you begin to walk this out, you're going to have an enemy that comes and begins to resist and begins to oppose. He begins to stand against, and he begins to try to deceive, and he begins to try to manipulate, and he begins to try to intimidate you to shrink back from the purpose of God that you were created for. Listen, there's going to be a fight. And that's the title of my message this morning, is get in the game, get in the fight. You need to get, there's going to be a fight. And listen, the people of God, you need to understand this. This is part of becoming a disciple. This is part of going beyond just being an occasional church attender. This is about going beyond just believing in a God. This is about growing as a disciple. There's a war. There's a battle. And he's called you and I to step into it and to continue to enforce the victory that Jesus won for us on the cross of Calvary. And this is what it means, and this is what it looks like to grow as a disciple. Come on, how many know there's a difference between being a believer and growing as a disciple? And God's called us not to just go and make a bunch of believers, but he said go and make disciples. And part of my heart for you as a believer, and part of my heart for you as a disciple, is that you begin to become equipped with the weapons of your warfare so that you can begin to live in and experience and enjoy the victory of Jesus over every scheme and attack of your adversary, Satan, your opponent, Satan. And listen, it's the reason that we're digging into this. It's the reason that we're walking through this series called Victorious. I want to see that people of God begin to walk out and live in this. And listen, I don't want you to be dependent upon me. It's good that you maybe appreciate your pastor. It's good that you have a life group. It's good that you have a church. Come on, we need to stay connected to the body of Christ and to the body of believers. But there's something that God wants to do in you. There's an authority, and there's a victory, and there's a power, and there's a revelation, and there's an authority that's available to every believer, every man, every woman, every young person, every kid that calls upon the name Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants you to begin to become trained up. He wants you to begin to become equipped so that you can begin to walk this out. And I see people that they're going through something, it's just a little pet peeve of mine when I'm on social media, and I see someone that's going through something, and they've put something out there, and I've been getting to look in the comments, and people say warm thoughts coming your way, or people say, I'm throwing up a little prayer. I'm saying a little prayer for you today. And come on, that's all fine and good. And we need people to encourage us, right? Amen. You need to hear me this morning. We need to pray for one another. We need to strengthen one another. We need to be there for one another. We need to be connected to the body of Christ. And all the more as the day goes evil, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. But there's a personal work that God wants to begin to do on the inside of you, where you as a woman of God, where you as a man of God begin to discover and grow in the power and the victory and the authority of Jesus Christ. And in the coming weeks, these are some of the things that we're going to dig into. We're going to spend several weeks just talking about the power of the Holy Spirit and how to have a relationship with him. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. But if you'll wait for me you'll call upon me, I'll send the promise of the Father who is the Holy Spirit. And he told the early disciples, he said, don't even go and start your ministry until you receive power from on high. And we're going to talk about this in the coming weeks. So come on, be here, be available, show up and be attentive to say, that's what I want, that's what I need. I need the power of God so that I can begin to live in victory. I want to begin to grow as a disciple. I want to begin to go beyond just being a church attender or a believer. I want to become the man of God. I want to become the woman of God. I want to begin to live out as a father, as a husband. I want to begin to be the mom, the wife. I want to begin to make the difference that God created me to make. That's the heart of this series, and you need to be encouraged. If there's a battle in your life, if there's opposition in your life, if there's a resistance in your life, it's because there's a promise in your life. It's because there's potential in you. It's because the kingdom of God is within you, and it's because there's a purpose that God created you for. Come on, no one battles over places that have no resources. You're important. You're God's masterpiece. And Jesus said this. He said, I told you these things that you may have peace. Let me remind you, as we talk about an adversary and an opponent, we battle from the posture of victory and peace. And he said, in this world, you will have trouble. Other translations say tribulations. But he said, take heart. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, take heart. Take heart. Take heart. He's saying, be encouraged. He's saying, take heart. Be encouraged. He said, I have overcome the world. But he said, you'll have a battle. There'll be a fight. And listen, part of why we see Christians just so anemic in their faith is we haven't done a good job at saying there's a battle. There's a battle. We've overpromised and underdelivered. And be careful about anyone that tells you that when you become a Christian, everything's going to get easy. And everything's going to change. When you become a Christian, the enemy goes from being, again, your master to being your opponent and your adversary. But here's the good news. There's an opportunity, there's an invitation, and there's an empowerment from God by the Holy Spirit to learn how to walk and live out victory. But we need to just own this, that there's a battle, and I'm going to face some things. Jesus, he never promised us a rose garden. He said, there will be trouble, there will be tribulation. But take heart, be encouraged, be of good cheer. I've overcome, and I'm giving you the weapons of warfare that are mighty for walking out this victory. But come on, we got to go from knowing to doing, knowing to doing, knowing to doing, knowing to doing. Believers know, disciples do. And we're called to become disciples. Come on, say, I am a disciple. I am a disciple. I am a disciple. And listen, good intentions don't scare Satan or move the heart of God. Your actions do. Good intentions. What you believe. There's a lot of people that believe in God, but they're getting beat up by the devil because they're not living out and walking out. Good intentions don't scare Satan, and they don't move the heart of God. We got to go beyond being hearers, according to the book of James, and be doers of God's word. We got to be people that begin to read every day and begin to know the word of God and begin to write it on our hearts and begin to hit our knees in prayer every day, every moment, every situation, maybe before the board meeting. Hit your knees and pray. We got to begin to become people that begin to pray and say. We got to speak and declare the word of God. We need to sing and worship and shout. We need to kneel before the Lord our Maker. Come on. And some of you say, well, I don't want to be weird. And can I tell you, either do I. But maybe we ought to think about this differently. We're called to be extraordinary. The Bible says we're a peculiar people. And we're called to live differently. And listen, if you want to fit in, go right ahead. But if you want to be normal, normal in today's culture is depressed, discouraged, divorced, addicted, medicated, hopeless. And listen, if that's normal today, then I'll be different. And I'll be extraordinary. And I believe that's the invitation of God, and that's the reason we're digging into these things. Start to grow and know how we can begin to walk this out and live in victory. And as your pastor, I want you to begin to discover this and grow in this personally so that you can become a disciple that makes a difference. So I want to continue to unpack some of the enemy's schemes against us today. In 1 Peter 5:8, we see that it says, be sober, be vigilant, be vigilant, be vigilant, be vigilant. Come on, we need to be committed to this thing. We need to be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, your opponent, your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I've encouraged you with this. It doesn't say seeking whom he can devour. It says seeking whom he may devour. Can would imply ability. May implies that Satan needs opportunity or permission. He's looking for open doors in your life. He's looking, he's listening, he's watching for the words you speak. He's looking, he's watching, he's listening for areas of sin. He's looking, he's watching, he's listening for rebellion, fear, pride. He looks for open doors. And last week we talked about Peter and Job and how they operated in spiritual pride and how it opened a door for the enemy to come in and interfere in their life. And today I want to look at the life of David. And I want to look at a way that he opened the door in his life. And the enemy came in and really wreaked some havoc in David's life. And you know what I appreciate about the Bible? You've heard me say this before, but it's worth repeating. I appreciate that the Bible doesn't hide or diminish, or it doesn't put away the dirty, dark secrets of people's lives. It shows it all in full detail. And I just want to encourage you this morning. You got a past. You got some sin. You got some shame. You got some guilt. You made a mistake. You blew it. Come on, you're in good company with Moses, David. I mean, all these people. Peter, you're in good company. God has a way of redeeming and restoring the errors of our life and the sin of our life and using it to propel us into the purposes of God for our life. And here we find in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Are you there? Come on. 2 Samuel chapter 11. If you're there, say, I'm there. And again, I'm talking to you about get in the fight. Get in the fight. Get in the fight. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, it says this. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. Did you catch that? In the season where David, who was the king, would generally go out with his army into war, he sent Joab with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. And they destroyed the Ammonites, and they besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. And listen, that's verse 1, and watch what happens in verse 2. So there's a place that David should be, right? And it's on the battlefield. And watch what happens in verse 2. One evening, David got up from his bed that he never should have been in because he should have been with his men out on the battlefield. And he walked around on the roof of the palace, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. And David sent someone out to find out about her. And the man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And David sent messengers to get her, and she came to him, and he slept with her. And I want to talk to you this morning about how the enemy looks for opportunities, and he finds opportunities when there's a fight, when there's a battle as a man, as a woman, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother that God's called you to be in. And when you send someone else and you're not in that moment, there's an open door for the enemy to come and interfere in your life. And can we pray and just ask the Lord to show us how this applies to us so that we can close that door and we can begin to walk in victory? Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the power of your word, and I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for the heart that you have towards us as your people. And I thank you, Lord, that you told us. You didn't sugarcoat it. You said there would be a battle, but you said that you had overcome it. And you gave us and are giving us the weapons of warfare to win this battle. And, Lord, we pray that we would begin to grow, that we would begin to know, that we would begin to step into this battle, not from a posture of fear or anxiety or uncertainty, but from a posture of peace and victory that's assured, because we don't fight on our own. The blood of Jesus speaks louder. The blood of Jesus resonates throughout eternity, the victory of Jesus. And that's who we are, and that's how we fight our battles. And thank you, Lord, this morning for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, for open minds. Thank you, Lord, for alert minds. Thank you, Lord, for soft hearts. Thank you, Lord, for showing us how this applies to us and giving us the strength to begin to step in and engage, to begin to pray, to begin to speak, to begin to declare, to begin to obey, and to see the doors in our life closed to the enemy so that we might win. And all God's precious people said, come on with the shout, amen, amen, amen. Come on, get in the fight, get in the game, get in the game. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, get in the game. Listen, he's not looking for the smartest or the best looking or the most well-educated. He's a lot of times just looking for someone who's available. David, early on in his life, he was overlooked. His other brothers were brought before the prophet before he was. His other brothers were the ones who were selected for the battle, and they were out on the battlefield. And David was just back tending the sheep. Just tending the sheep, and his dad came to him and he said, hey, why don't you take this bread and this cheese, take these cheese sandwiches to your brothers and check on the status of the battle and check on your brothers. And he's not looking for the most talented, the most handsome, the most well-educated. He's just looking for someone that's available. And David went to the battlefield, and people were trembling in their boots as Goliath stood and taunted and shouted against the people of God and against their God. And David showed up and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And he said, why isn't someone doing something about it? And David wasn't the biggest, he wasn't the best, he wasn't the baddest, but he made himself available, and he said, I'll go and do it. He said, I'll go and do it. He said, I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And he did with a few smooth stones and his shepherd's slingshot. He did what an army full of men who had full armor and swords and spears and arrows couldn't do, because he knew his God, and he knew that if he stood out, if he stepped out and just made himself available, God was with him and God was for him. He's looking for someone who's available. Come on, half the battle is just showing up. Half the battle is just showing up. Come on, I play softball with some Rev City guys. And there's two gals teams, and that's such a blast to go out and watch the ladies compete. Come on up. I'm just hoping that someone does not propose a guys versus girls exhibition game, because I'm not sure that would go so well for the guys. But we had a doubleheader this last week, and the first game that we had to play at 6:15, the other team didn't show up and they forfeited. I thought it was interesting. The umpire came over and he said, that's a forfeit. He said, we'll go ahead and write it in the book. And he wrote the score. He put 7-0. And I said, that's interesting. And the other team didn't even show up and they forfeited. Listen, let me encourage you. You lose all the battles that you don't show up for. You miss all the shots that you don't take. And sometimes half the battle is just showing up and making yourself available. Half the battle is just waking up and getting up and showing up. And there's a call from the Lord. I believe it. I hear it. I feel it in my bones. There's an awakening that's happening. The Spirit of God is saying, come on, people of God, wake up. Come on, people of God, wake up from your slumber. Come on, people of God, begin to hear the sound of victory. Begin to hear the sound of revival. Come on, people of God, wake up. He's shaking us. He's shaking us, and he's saying, wake up. He's saying, wake up. He's saying, get up. And he's saying, show up. And he's saying, don't forfeit. And there's a lot of people who there's something that God, everything we've said is true about them, but they're forfeiting the purpose and the call of God. They're forfeiting. They're not showing up. They're not waking up. Something's come and brought discouragement. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 17, and I want to unpack a few of these things. A few of the ways that the enemy worked in and strategized and plotted against David, and I tell you, he's doing it today to you and to me. 2 Samuel chapter 17, just turn a few books back, and I'll paraphrase it. I just set it up for you. Absalom is David's son, and he's rebelling. And there's bitterness in his heart towards his father, David. David was a good man, and he was a man after God's heart. But there were some ways where it's apparent that he was absentee in his parenting, and he was busy building and doing and going, but he messed up in some of the ways that he was raising his kids and leading his family. And Absalom was rebelling, and he's actually already killed Amnon, who had violated their sister Tamar, and David had done nothing about it. David had done nothing about it, and so Absalom, there was bitterness in his heart, and now he's plotting about how to take out his father David. Come on, this is salacious. You think you've got drama at Thanksgiving? Absalom's plotting to kill his own father and to seize his kingdom. And we pick it up in verse 1 in chapter 17. And there's a pattern here. There's a pattern here. Watch for this, and then we'll unpack it. Ahithophel said to Absalom, Absalom's gone to get some advice about how to do this thing that's in his heart because of this bitterness that he has towards his father. And he says, and Ahithophel says to Absalom, I would choose 12,000 men, and I would set out tonight in pursuit of David. I would attack him while he is weary and while he is weak. I would strike him with terror, and then all the people will flee. All the people with him, rather, will flee. I would strike down only the king, and I will bring the people back to you. Listen, within this, there's a demonic advice. There's a strategy that the enemy is still using today to try to take out you and try to take me out. Number one, he says, I would try to intimidate, or I would choose 12,000 men. The enemy's trying to intimidate and overwhelm you. The enemy's trying to cause you to feel overwhelmed, where you're so overwhelmed with the burdens of life and the responsibilities of your day and all the things that you've got to do and being a mom and being a wife and keeping the books and getting the groceries and making the dinner and getting the kids. You feel so overwhelmed that you just begin to become discouraged. And you begin to do all these things, but you don't have time to spend time with the only place that you really need to make time for, and that's in the presence of God and the Word of God. You get so overwhelmed that all these things, come on, if the enemy can't keep you from something, I believe he'll just get behind you and he'll just push you and he'll push you and he'll push you. You're too busy to really spend time with God. You're too preoccupied. And we begin to be overwhelmed. He said, I would choose 12,000 men. The enemy comes and he tries to intimidate and overwhelm you. And can I encourage you with that, with something this morning? If you are in a place where you feel overwhelmed with the cares and the burdens of life, would you make a quality decision to just go and to begin, however it looks and whatever time you have to do for you, to spend time with God? The pathway to the breakthrough, the pathway to the promise of God, the pathway to seeing this thing begin to lift off of you is the presence of God. You're not going to someday just figure it all out, and you're not going to someday wake up and have more hours in your day. You're going to have to begin to spend time in the presence of God and become strengthened to go and do everything that God's called you to do. The enemy will come and he'll try to overwhelm you. And I tell you this often, but it bears repeating, the most important step is always, it's always the first or the next step. Oftentimes we feel so overwhelmed, we're worried about getting out here or getting out there. It seems too big, it seems insurmountable. Be encouraged, begin to just walk out and do. It's never too late to start to do the right thing. And the pathway to that mountain of debt being paid off is a commitment in your heart, and it's paying one bill at a time. And the pathway to seeing your kids be raised up to know and fear the Lord and to serve him and to discover the purposes of God for their life, come on, it's one day at a time. It's one spanking at a time. It's one time out at a time. It's one moment at a time with that child taking their hand and speaking and looking into their eyes and encouraging them with the truth of God and reminding them about who they are in him. It's one moment at a time, moms. And you can feel so overwhelmed. It's like, I don't know that you get overwhelmed and you just want to give up. And I'm just telling you, don't give up. Take the first step. Take the next step. The next thing we see is it says, I would set out at night. I would choose 12,000 men and I would set out at night. I would set out at night, and the enemy's always going to try to attack you in the dark. And it's why you can't afford to let situations linger in the dark. Sin is always uglier in the dark. And he says, he goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And did you know the lions are nocturnal? And how many of you have seen them on National Geographic, you know? And during the day, they're like a big old puppy, you know? It's like they're laying around and lazing around in the grass, you know? But at night, they go on the prowl. And at night, they begin to hunt. And they sleep during the day and they hunt at night. And the Bible says that we are children of the light. We are children of the day. And the enemy works in darkness. The enemy traffics in darkness. But we are children of the light. And you can't afford to leave things in the darkness. And whatever it takes, starting before God. Come on, when you confess something to God, did you understand? And did you know that that's not when God finds out about it? That's when you begin to get set free from it. Whatever it is, a mindset, a pattern of sin, an area of sin, something in your heart. Go and put it before God. Say, Lord, this thing that's in my heart that's discouraging me, this thing that's allowing the enemy this foothold or this open door into my life, I'm coming to you and I'm confessing it before you. And I thank you that I have a good God who loves me so much that he sent Jesus Christ to pay the price for this sin, for this thing, for this mindset, for this stronghold. And I'm bringing it before you and I'm laying it down at the foot of the cross and I'm leaving it there and I'm walking away. You can't afford to leave things in the dark. Number three, it says, attack him. I would attack him while he is weary and weak. And the devil is a no good, dirty, rotten scoundrel. And he'll look for your worst moment. He'll look for when you're tired. He'll look for when you had a bad day. And that's the very moment where he'll come and he'll try to interfere in your life. That's the very moment where he'll come and he'll try to drop a lie or a deception into your heart or your mind. And he's like a roaring lion. He's on the prowl, seeking whom he may devour. And it's why you need to be sober and be vigilant. And it's why we need to begin to understand and see the way that he works and the way that he schemes and the way that he plots and the way that he speaks and the way that he comes and tries to trip us up. Because you're weak and you're tired, he'll come and he'll try to attack you in that very moment. And listen, I see it all over. I see it everywhere, all throughout our world, all throughout our society. People that are battling discouragement, battling oppression, battling depression and discouragement. We can't afford to stay discouraged. You've got to become encouraged. Listen, the word dis means apart. And think about it, we're disappointed. Disappointment comes to try to remove you or separate you from the appointment of God for your life. When we become discouraged, he's coming to remove courage that you're going to need. Be strong and courageous is the most common command in the Bible, and it's not a suggestion. God knows that if you're going to make it, if you're going to walk through, if you're going to get to the other side, if you're going to inherit and walk through and experience the promises of God, you're going to have to be strong and of good courage. And the only way to do it is in the presence of God. And the only way to do it is by being connected to the people of God. And you think you can do it in your own strength. Listen, I see it all. It's all around. People that have what the world, they've even achieved and attained what the world prescribes as success. They have a television show. They have the most sought after line of handbags in the world today. They have the bank account with zeros at the end of it. They have all the followers on social media. They have the critical acclaim. They have all those things, and yet, just like the Bible says, they've gained the whole world and they've lost their own soul because they don't have a relationship with their Creator. And they have all those things, and yet they hang themselves with the belt or their bathrobe in their 5-star hotel in Europe. And I'm sorry to be graphic, but I'm just telling you, there's an enemy that's going around roaring and seeking whom he may devour. And John 10:10 says that the thief comes to kill and to steal and destroy, but Jesus came to give life. And you can't afford to remain discouraged or depressed. The pathway out of it is praise. The pathway out of it is prayer. The pathway out of it is the presence of God. The pathway out of it is the people of God. You can't allow discouragement from previous experiences to speak louder than the promises and the invitations of God. And we live in a world that often says, don't get your hopes up, but listen, as the people of God, we are people of faith. And God's word always connects faith with hope. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Come on, we must get our hopes up for ourselves, for your family, for your marriage, for your finances, for your future. We must get our hopes up. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. Number four, he'll attack your mind with fear. It said, I would strike him with terror. And fear, I would submit to you, is the number one way that the enemy traffics in our life and tries to separate us from the will of God. How many people have missed an invitation to partner with God because of fear of man or fear of failure? Fear that causes them to not even be willing to step out onto the battlefield or make themselves available. We've got to defeat that spirit of fear. And until you have more confidence in the word of God, until you have more conviction about who God is and who he says he is and who he says you are in him and that he'll do what he says he'll do, and until you have more confidence in those things than what people think, you'll never make it. You'll never step out and you'll never step in, and you'll allow the enemy to cause you to shrink back and hold back and stay home and be on the sidelines when God's called you to be in the game. You've got to learn how to overcome the spirit of fear. And God, and 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And you've got to begin to come against fear. Any place where you sense that fear is operating, you can always go to that place and say, this is not from God, this is the enemy. Now, there's a good fear, there's a healthy fear, and there's a fear of God that's a beginning of wisdom. But I'm talking about fear of failure, fear of man, fear of stepping out, fear of walking in faith, fear of showing up, fear of doing things that God's called you to do. You've got to overcome fear. He said, I would strike him with terror. Lastly, he said that then the people will flee from him. And the enemy's always trying to isolate and disconnect you from God's people. He's always trying to isolate you and disconnect you from God's people. And just like the enemy's nocturnal, he's a strategist. And you've seen those shows on National Geographic. And as long as that animal is in the middle of the herd, as long as that animal is in the middle of the pack, he or she is all right. But you can just picture it in your mind's eye. One of them starts to straggle, or one of them starts to get left behind, the weak, the weary, the wounded, whatever it is. And that's the very one that those lions go and key on and begin to attack. You can't afford to get isolated from God's people. And when there's a scheme and when there's an attack, when there's in times of cultural chaos, in times of cultural decay, God always builds something to protect and preserve his people. And in the days of Noah, he built an ark. And he told Peter, on this rock of who I am and what I'm doing for you and for the people of God, I'm building what? My church. I'm building my church. I'm building my church. Get in. Get in and stay in. Don't let the enemy disconnect you. Don't let the enemy bring lies and accusations. Come on, that Diablo spirit that brings slander and begins to accuse us one to another to try to isolate us and separate us. Come on, it's more than just bad behavior. It's the scheme of the enemy to try to isolate you so that he can devour you. God is a God of relationship. God's a God of community, and God's a God of family. And the enemy, you better believe it, will always oppose the things that connect God's people to God's peace, to God's promises, and to God's provision. Worship team, would you come up and prepare to help us dismiss? And as they come up, can we just begin to shift to pray and ask the Lord to minister to us in any of these areas? In fact, people of God, go ahead, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Prepare to respond to this. And listen, there's going to be a fight, but you're going to win. There's going to be a battle, but you're going to come out victorious. There's going to be an opposition. There's going to be a trial. There's going to be a tribulation, but be of good cheer because he's overcome the world. And this is the promise of God, and this is the posture of becoming a disciple, understanding there's going to be some opposition. God saw fit to even show me and reveal to me that there's an adversary, there's an enemy that's going to stand against and oppose the will of God and the work of God in my life. But as I begin to move beyond just being a believer and a churchgoer or a church attender, a casual church attender, to growing as a disciple, God's heart for me is to equip me and strengthen me so that I can step onto the battlefield and so that I can begin to walk in a way that closes the door on the enemy and begins to allow me to connect to the victory of God. And I just want to pray for anyone who, for whatever reason, you find yourself like David and you've stayed home from the battle. You've become discouraged, or you've become complacent in your own life, in your marriage, in your family. And maybe one time you were praying and one time you were battling, but you grew discouraged. You grew weak and you grew wounded. And today I believe the Holy Spirit wants to come by his grace and because of his goodness. And he wants to begin to strengthen you once again to get back in the fight, to get off the sidelines and get back in the game, to begin to hit your knees. And there were three things that the Lord put on my heart this morning to minister and encourage you to how to begin to walk this thing out. How to begin to walk this thing out. And it was pray, say, and obey. And then he spoke it to me another way. He said, to hit your knees, to discover your voice, and to begin to stand your ground. And so as we just ask the Lord to strengthen us and call us back into that place, what he's calling us back into is a life of prayer. What he's calling us back into is a life of God's word. And what he's calling us back into is a life of speaking and declaring, discovering our voice once again, overcoming the fear of what it looks like or what people will think when we begin to sound a little different than the world, when we begin to live a little different than the world. Come on, can I tell you, it's not an obligation, it's an invitation. It's an invitation. And I just wonder if anyone wants to receive it this morning. And if that's you this morning, there's an area of your life, there's a battle that God has called you to step into, but you've been on the sidelines and you see how it's caused for there to be an open door for the enemy to come in and bring confusion or introduce sin. If that's you this morning, come on. I just want you to lift your hand towards heaven and say, that's me, Pastor T, and I'm re-enlisting. I'm re-enlisting in the battle. I'm re-enlisting in the army of God. I'm re-enlisting in this war. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you, God, that you're going to begin to strengthen them by your Holy Spirit to hit their knees and to discover their voice and to stand their ground. And now before we dismiss this morning, the most important thing we do in our service today is give you the opportunity to receive the free gift of salvation that is in Jesus Christ. And your Heavenly Father, He loves you so much. He loves you so much, and He knows everything you've been through, and He knows all the mistakes you made, and it's the reason that He sent Jesus to pay the price for our sin and to pay the price for our guilt and remove the guilt and shame off of us and give us the opportunity to start over again. The Bible talks about it as being born again. And if that's you this morning and the Holy Spirit's just quickening your heart and stirring your heart, if that's you, all I'm going to ask you to do right now is just lift your hand towards heaven and say, Pastor T, that's me. Would you pray for me? Pastor T, that's me. Would you pray for me? And thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in their heart. Come on, today's the day of salvation, and you're never going to be the same after today. God's doing something eternal. God's doing something significant in your life. Thank you, Lord, for just overcoming the lies and the schemes and the deceptions of the enemy and reminding these precious people that they are your children. They're your children. Come on, we're a church family here at Rev City. And so whenever we pray this prayer, I ask all of you to pray it along with these precious people who have raised their hand in faith today. So come on, people of God, would you pray this after me? Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I couldn't pay, to make a way that I might have a new life. I give you my life. I give you my heart. I put my trust in you and you alone, and I'll never be the same. Come on, I'll never be the same. Come on, say it, people of God. I'll never be the same. And all God's precious people said, come on, with a shout and a praise. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus this morning and for all the precious people.